Hey guys, welcome to the Dad's Group podcast. My name is Blair, aka B-Town, aka B-Sizzle, aka something else. I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of a cool nickname, but that's me.
And this is Burnsy. I actually have a good nickname. And welcome to the podcast. This is the Dad's Group podcast. We're all about helping fathers, helping families. And what we do in this pod and what we do in all the things that Dad's Group offers is to help you grow as a father and help your family continue to grow together. And we had a cracker of an interview last week with Dan Vandermeer. It was actually a bit surreal talking to someone who you've listened to their podcast. A couple of times this season where we've talked to someone who's got their own podcast or a book or that sort of thing. And it's always a little bit surreal, hearing from them and talking to them. But I just loved Dan covered just about everything in that episode. Like, he was just so so generous with his time and in sharing his story. So, really loved the episode and what we covered off. But I wonder, what was something that stuck out to you from the app, Blair?
Yeah, it was so good, man. I mean, I loved it, mate. You're having so many good conversations, dude, with some amazing people. Like, I think that's the best thing about this podcast is, like, we actually get to have those conversations. Well, you do anyway, you're a hog. But, the big thing that I got, mate, it was just like a one-liner. It was just about him saying that he had a difficult season in the last couple of years. And for me, I'm just like, oh, man, that's so good, dude. Like, just that reminder of, like, yeah, the difficult times are seasonal. You know what I mean? We do go through those seasons. So when I'm in one, like, it is seasonal. What am I doing in that season to help in that season, all that sort of stuff, and to know that there are good seasons, man. Like, you know, so no, it was very short, very sweet, but I loved it. It was great.
The thing that I really gained from the conversation was when we were talking about balance. And, you know, Dan was talking about, you know, he's got older kids, he's got three kids, and just that balance of time with the kids, time with the family, but also time with his mates, time doing what he loves. And it just got me thinking about the balance in all of that. With a young kid myself, you know, we're still sort of, our whole world is him and there's not much of a life outside of that, or we're still trying to figure out how do you do that. So, you know, you're that little bit further along with kids, not in age.
Yeah, I'm a young buck, mate. I'm young.
I just wonder, like, how do you guys do it with four kids and everything you take on? How do you find the balance in all of that?
Oh, man, I think that's a big question that everyone asks, and it's no cookie-cutter answer. I really believe the big thing for balance is conversation. You know what I mean? Like, what are the needs that you have? So, I travel a little bit for work, but I'm also a part of a youth program too. So I was away last week on a youth camp, which was absolutely amazing, but I was away for 10 days, right? That's a long time. You know, when you've got a family of four, our youngest is 3 months, right? Or just over. It's a long time to be away and it's hard. I could not do that if it did not work for us. It has challenges, but the balance is always a big question. Conversation, and the only reason it does work, actually, sorry for the ramble, but the only reason it does work is because of the conversations that Amy and I have.
Yeah.
It's like, does this work for our time? What does she need before I go? What does she need when I come back? So that's my travel time. But when I'm not away, the way that we balance is still conversation. Like, for Amy, it's like she needs alone time from everyone and everything. So it's like, all right, we need to put that into our schedule. We need to schedule it in. Because if we don't schedule stuff, man, it doesn't happen. But as well, for me, it's like, all right, exercise, I need to have that. That's a non-negotiable now for my mental health. And for mateship, like, I've got a good bunch of mates through Dad's Group. Guys, I need a break. Let's go do a dinner. So it's a call out. But again, I don't neglect the responsibilities from home. It's through the conversations with Amy. We communicate where we're at, what we need, and just being, I use this word all the time, intentional. So just being intentional about those conversations and intentional about us realizing where we are at. If we're being cranky asses for a week, something needs to shift. It's never an excuse of like, oh, it is what it is. We can do something about that.
Well, conversation's probably a good segue into our next episode, actually, because Kim and Aaron, their profession is as perinatal mental health nurses. So, you know, they're having conversations with people who are struggling in that initial stage, it's great. They gave a really great definition of perinatal in this conversation. But yeah, they're talking about what are the conversations, particularly as dads and partners, we can be having with the mums of our children, with our partners, to really get through some of those tougher periods. So this is a great conversation in terms of just sort of getting perspective that we as dads don't carry through pregnancy and childbirth, and getting some perspective that helps us to be more supportive and more helpful during that perinatal period. So we hope you enjoyed this conversation with Kim and Erin from When Held, the business that they've started. And we can't wait to catch up with you next week. Welcome to the Dads Group podcast, Kim and Erin. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much.
Look, I want to start by checking in. How are you guys going out of 10 today?
We're having a little pause now because we were just saying it's school holidays here for us, and it's been a bit of a morning trying to organise all the kids to do this. We were just taking a big breath and things are looking really good. So for me, it's Erin speaking. I reckon I'm about an 8 or a 9, feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
How about you, Kim?
I reckon I'm coming from a 6, moving up to probably an 8, actually.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's the right direction anyway.
Only up from here, right?
That's it. So for our listeners, the context of how this chat came about was Kim and Erin reached out to us on Instagram to share about some of the things they're doing, which we'll get into in the episode. And it just sounded so awesome. We had to have you on the podcast. So welcome, guys. It's so cool. And because what you do is incredible and you do a lot. So maybe let's just start with that. Would you guys be able just to introduce yourselves, your families, and all this work that you're doing down there in Melbourne, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's Erin speaking here. I'm a mum to 2 pretty rad little boys. They're 8 and 6. Married to my husband now for about 12 years. We've been together. We were high school sweethearts, so we've been together for more than half of our lives, actually, which is pretty crazy to say that out loud. Kim and I connected a long time ago. We were friends in a part-time job a long time ago before we became nurses, and then kind of lost contact and then came back together, found ourselves so super passionate about the work that we do. For me, the work around perinatal mental health, I think I was so drawn to after I had my first son. We lived in Perth, and that was a long way away from family. We didn't have friends. We didn't have supports around us. So it was us just doing it all on our own, and that was so, so tough. And I think we didn't really realise until a long time after just how tough that was until we had our second child and we had the village around us. We were back with family in Melbourne and things were so much easier. So, I think that's a big part of my why is to, because I know how tough it can be to just do it on your own.
And I'm Kim and I am a mum to 2. I have a 2-year-old and an almost 7-year-old, and I have a very patient, supportive husband who is, both of our husbands' names are Matt, so which is great. We can just chat about Matt. Oh, Matt. Awesome. after having my daughter, I really struggled. I had postnatal depression and anxiety, and I really struggled with that transition into parenthood. I felt like I completely lost my identity, and finding myself again was, building back up to me was very challenging. And then I think when I had some space to catch my breath, all I wanted to do was to be with other mums to make them feel not so alone and, help them to feel not so isolated. And also, I guess we work in our unit, it's, mums and babies, but it's also the whole family. Just seeing how much, my husband also struggled through that period of time too, trying to hold me and our daughter. It's just, to be able to be in a space that you can hold the whole family, I think is really incredible. So it's just it was like a given. I think you go through experiences in life which feel like you're rock bottom, but I feel like if you can see that happens, it's an opening to be able to dive into something to help other people and also yourself. Like, this has been an incredible healing journey in, I learned so, so much from the parents that I work with and the babies too. Like, they tell us so much. Yeah.
Absolutely. It sounds like you both have had some incredible stories that have led you to this space and some of those challenges. The strength of you both, you know, sort of confronting that and coming to this other side and finding a real purpose to it is really inspiring. So thank you for sharing that. I wonder if you could share both what has been a highlight of your parenting journey so far?
This question's really amazing. I think really makes you stop and reflect. It's pretty cool. I think that a highlight for me was doing the Circle of Security facilitator training. After I did that, I just saw myself in such a different light as a parent. I was able to, I think, value being with my daughter, like, and stopping and just actually being with her. Whereas before I did, like, I hadn't done the course, I had no idea. It was like this busy go, go, go of life and really not stopping and understanding her or understanding myself. And I think that after doing the course, it just completely changed our relationship. And yeah, like valuing myself as a mother to then for her to then see her as she was. And yeah, it was really incredible. So I think that's like a huge highlight because it changed everything. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. For me, I mean, there's so many, and there's probably not one single moment that stands out above the rest. But for me, the biggest joy in motherhood comes when I see my boys being kind to others, and that you stop and just go, yeah, we must be doing something right here when they're kind human beings.
Yeah, yeah. It's just beautiful when they do it too. Like, I've got a nearly 2-year-old and he just hugs people. It's just, it is. And you just, yeah. And there's a hope for, you know, with it as well. Hey, like, you see these kids becoming these beautiful human beings and you go, actually, the world's maybe not such a bad place after all. Like,
Yeah.
I was going to say that maybe the other highlight in parenthood is like when you look back and reflect on, for me, it's been 8.5 years, and I can see that my 8.5-year-old and my 6-year-old are who they've always been. Like, it's so cool to look back now and go, that was you, you're still you, you know, you were, you're exactly who you are the way that you were born. And it's so cool to be able to see that. They're human beings, right? Yeah. From the day dot.
Yeah. And I think, again, like, really reaffirming that it doesn't matter how bad we screw up as parents, that these are such resilient, beautiful little beings that they do come out okay. Like, even especially if we're trying to, like, mitigate some of those stuff ups.
Yeah, definitely. I think we as parents can be incredibly hard on ourselves. Like, you know, we are our own worst critics. Our children just see us with so much love. And we just need to see that.
So I've realized this next question I have down, I usually am asking dads. So it's a little bit, probably more of a different experience, but it's if you could travel back to the delivery room of the birth of your first child, which, again, that's a very different experience for you as mothers than what it is for us as dads. But what advice would you give yourself about parenting? Like, as who you are now, if you were to tell yourself right at the very start of your parenting journeys, right from that birth moment, what would you tell yourself?
Kim and I were chatting about this exact same thing just before we started the podcast, and amazingly, we both were in exactly the same space, and it revolved around us telling ourselves to just slow down. Yeah. Slow down, take it easy, block out the external static of the world, and just tune in to you and your baby. So for dads, that, like, we will go back and tell our husbands, like, just be present, just tune into us and our little person, and then the rest will all come clear. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and it's, I think it would be so incredible to say to both myself and to Matt, you as you are is all that she needs. I think that we just place, you know, so much pressure on ourselves and trying to, like, for definitely our experience is trying to fix, you know, her, what was wrong with her, which was literally just crying, just to be with her is all that she needed, and for us to listen, and to also, you know, that surrender to the support and help, like, asking for help doesn't mean that you're failing. It's the more support that you get, the more capacity you have to be able to trust your gut and to be the best parent that you want to be. So call in the support team.
Yeah,
I would say to myself, allow it to happen, call out for it, shout it out, just allow it. Yeah, allow as much support in. I think it's a really, it's a big thing, a theme that we do see in that, you know, when you do ask for support, that it's a sign of weakness or that you, you know, you're not coping. And it's so far from that. In we need support. We just need the tribe around us, you know, both parents. Like, it's not just about mums, it's about dads, and their ability to ask for help too. I think is there's such a barrier up in society, you know, men asking for help too. And it's we need to just knock that down and allow it to happen, because it just changes the way and your journey when you have that support around you. It yeah, completely changes everything because you have so much more capacity to be who you are and the best parent that you want to be.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much for that. I wonder if we could talk about the perinatal period. You know, perinatal is a word that particularly as men, we probably don't have in our lexicon quite often. So I wonder if we could maybe just start with what is that perinatal period? Because it can be a bit daunting. And I wonder, you've already sort of started to give a bit of advice to dads about what their role can be, but I wonder if you could sort of speak a bit more about how dads can support mum's mental health during that perinatal period.
So the perinatal is such a weird word, isn't it? It's a jargon word that no one would understand unless you work in the area. So perinatal really just means from conception through around about the first 12 months of a baby's life. So it's you know, we kind of could encompass it a little bit further to say sort of with the, you know, the first 1,000 days of a baby's life from conception. So in the context of like the healthcare system, when we talk about perinatal, it does go up to about that 12-month mark.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, because I still, when I hear perinatal, like I know what it means, but for some reason I still think of submarines. Like I think periscope, natal, navel. So for like, I can't get that image out of my head. So thank you for giving me a definition to work with.
I'm sure there's a way that we could bring a submarine into that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, through the ocean. Sinking.
Oh, go deeper.
Yeah, so I guess in advice that we would give to dads in this in the perinatal period would be communication. I think is something that we see as being maybe not such strong points within, you know, when life gets busy, it's like communication kind of goes out the window. Like we often actually just had this conversation in the last dad's circle group that we took, and just saying how important it is to open up communication and what that might look like on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, through the night, sometimes, you know, you might not even see each other, and it might be, you don't know how your nights have gone. One person's taking the shift of night shifts looking after the bub, and then, you know, dad gets up and goes to work in the morning. And so we just, an example was to check in via text message, you know, with your partner, how was the night, or how are you feeling this morning? And then also then of an evening in the afternoon, you know, sending another text message, how's your day been? And I think then having that open platform of communication, you can then, it just, you can be more vulnerable in, you know, today's been really hard, so that you both know where each other's at. And I think that opening up that communication, it also makes you check in with yourself. Like, it's so important that we know where we're at. And I think a lot of us are running day to day, not even knowing where we're at. Like, how are we? You can stop and take a breather and go, how am I feeling today? Like, where is my cup? Like, do I have a full cup? Have I had a good morning? Have I had a good night's sleep? And the more we do that on a regular basis, then we really find out what we need and then what our partner needs. So we're then, yeah, communicating, I guess, on the same page with that. And then it opens up this platform of communication as to, we see a really big theme, I guess, that doesn't get spoken about is intimacy in a relationship. And we have, like, you know, the mums will be like, I just don't want to be touched. I'm tapped out. Like, I just, first thing I could think of is having sex. Like, that makes sense. And then it's like, we were having this discussion in the women's group of circle that I just took, and we were saying, all I wanted to do is just hug my husband, but I was so scared that he'd turn around and be like, we're on. I don't want to have sex right now. I just want to I want you to hold me. And it was like, of course, like, if we don't have this open communication, then we're kind of like guessing where each other's at. Yeah. So I think if we can communicate with each other how we are ongoing on a regular basis, then it just means that we can communicate what our other needs are, and it to be like more of a simple way of living, I think, when we have open communication, like, yeah, a gateway to, as like, a partnership really in a relationship. Like,
yeah,
you have to be a team parenting. Not one person's doing it. Like, it has to be. And if you're feeling pretty crappy and your cup isn't full, then it's like, you need to be able to tell the partner that's where you're at, so that then they can hopefully, pick up the load of that, time. And then the next day you're going to probably be picking up the load. So you kind of take it in turns, but if you don't communicate that, you don't have that space for that to happen, to work in partnership.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. And I know, like, my wife and I will often check in a couple of times during the day, but, usually she'll call or I'll text just on leaving work. And just that check in there gives me a sense of, okay, what am I coming home to? And particularly if it's been a day that she's been at home with our son. And then I can start preparing myself. And I think for dads, that's a big one of, like, that big transition of, it's not just go to work and then come home and chill. Like, you often, particularly if mum's at home, you've got to come home and get ready to go again. And so doing that check-in as you're leaving, you can sort of use your commute home, whatever that is, to get your headspace right. So yeah, communication is such a big one. And it sounds so simple, but as you say, like, there are so many dynamics and layers to it that if you're not communicating, then stuff does get lost in translation.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think when we're so busy parenting and getting on with life and working and everything else is happening, we're not staying in connection. So, like Kim said, if we just send a little message throughout the day, or we just do little check-ins along the way, then we're keeping in connection, and it's also helping both parties to feel not so alone. Like,
yeah,
makes you feel like this really is a partnership, this really is a team.
Yeah.
And together, yeah, we've got it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, a lot of our listeners are new dads or expecting dads even. And for that period for a father, it can be really like, well, what's my job here? Because it's all about mum and bub feeding and that connection. And so, that connection that the dads can try and build, that's going to help them feel part of it, isn't it? Like,
definitely. Absolutely. And also for the mum to be able to express, then if they're communicating regularly, if they're not feeling very good, then it's like, I need this, and whatever that is. And also for the partner to also be able to say, I'm feeling pretty crappy. I need you to, hold me. Or, or if you also, like, there's a constant down that you're seeing a really strong theme of not being okay, it's like then going, right, let's look at what our support network looks like instead of relying on each other. Look at the bigger picture and see where those supports need to come in. Because if dad's feeling down all the time too, and mum is, then it's like you can't hold each other in that space. No,
exactly.
You need to have more support. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So in your work and working in that perinatal mental health space, I'm still thinking submarines. what are some of the common factors that you see that impacts on new parents and their mental health? So we've sort of hit the communication part, but what are some of the other things that you commonly see that impacts on parents' mental health in that?
There's so much, because this is the biggest change in our lives, like, is to go from being these free, young, happy, easygoing people to then be completely absorbed in having to keep another little person alive. And more than that, there's this emotional attachment to them, which is just, it's the biggest transition that probably we go through in our lives. But with that shift comes, like the poor sleep, like we're awake all the time, and that puts so much stress, so much stress on our bodies and our minds and our relationships. I mean, there's there's financial pressure that often comes along with the shift into parenthood. Sometimes, you know, there'll be one staying at home doing the caregiving work, which means that, you know, there's not a double income, which can put a lot of stress in the situation. There's, like we've already talked about, the dynamics between partners completely changes because before it was just the two of you and you had all this time to just be together, and then all of a sudden everything is focused on this little baby and there's not a lot of time and space to do all the things
that. And what did we do with all of that time? Like, it was so much time. What did we did not maximize it at all.
I know, isn't it? That like looking back to yourself before children going, oh, wow. I thought I had a bad sleep then. Like, you know, now, you had no idea, girl. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. And probably, yeah, like the imprints, I think that like that plays a huge part in the way that like we parent, I think in the way that we were parented, and then, you know, is that what we're in? Some of us can see that that's not what we want to do, or we want to take some of that, but then not that part, and then working out and navigating that. But you also then have two systems, like, so the mum's family unit and the dad's family unit, and then trying to bring that together to be your family unit. Like, navigating that is hard. Like, so much shit there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We had Lael on the first episode of the season, Lael Stone, and she was talking about, like, you know, that word trauma, it has so many different definitions, and we often think of trauma having to be those big, heavy, you know, sort of really impacting experiences, but all of us carry these experiences that shape and imprint and affect our parenting. And as you say, like, when you bring two loads of that together and you try to navigate it, yeah, it makes it really difficult.
Yeah. And most of us before we become parents are pretty unaware of that stuff. We don't even realize. And then we become parents and it starts to surface, but it just kind of manifests in stress and anxiety and, you know, floundering around. And we often don't actually realize what it is that's going on for us. So it's a lot to navigate. Yeah.
Hey guys, I just wanted to pop in right now because, again, Burnsy is hogging all the airtime. He loves it. He just loves it. But anyway, let's have a quick chat about Dad's Group. As you have heard, Dad's Group exists to help fathers and help families. So we thought it'd be really cool to hear a story from one of our dads about the impact Dad's Group has had on their family.
G'day, I'm Tom. I've been involved with Dad's Group for over 7 years now, and I'm actually also the leader of Dads of Vermont, which I have been for a long, long time now. And I actually got involved with Dad's Group because I wanted to connect with other dads who were involved with looking after the kids, and I didn't actually have any friends with kids either at that point in time. So it was really great to connect with other dads who were going through similar things as myself at that point in time. And I was also suffering from anxiety quite badly around the time as well. So it was really good to go out and talk with other dads and find that you're actually not alone on this journey. So I think this is something that every dad should get involved with. It's such a great thing. I find it's been a really great stress relief as well, going out, catching up for a cup of coffee on the weekend, and also the friends I've gotten from it has been really great as well. So definitely something that has helped me a lot to take care of my own well-being and created that kind of circle of friends, or building that village that we're all talking about, that can help out when you're actually becoming a parent and looking after that. And it's also a lot of fun as well, being involved with events and things that we've been doing, and something to look forward to. And it's also been a really great way of me taking the kids out, and also giving the mum a bit of a break on the Saturday or Sunday morning as well. So it's a really great way of scheduling that as well. So definitely get involved. It's helped me a lot, and I love being part of Dad's Group.
If Dad's Group has helped you, or if you believe in our work and would love to join with us in helping even more dads and families, we ask that you consider to donate or buy some merch at www.dadsgroup.org. Oh, that was nice. Got it off my chest. I had my say. Take that, Burnsy. All right, let's get back to our chat with Kim and Aaron.
So then, like, looking at some of those things, what do you think needs to change in our society and in our systems to help people make that transition into parenthood? Like, I could be opening a can of worms here just on the way you both reacted.
Yeah, how long can we keep this going?
Yeah, as long as you need. We're going to change the world with this episode.
Look, I think it's always comes back to support, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like as human beings, we're designed to be operating within a village, within a system, having lots of others around us. Mm. And we haven't evolved to change away from that yet. Yet, you know, our lives have changed so much. So, I mean, look, if we were to change the world, it would be bringing in that holistic support to whole families. There's a lot of work that's happening in the space of supporting dads specifically. Like, there's programs that are out there. And there is a lot of work happening in that space, but we've still got a long way to go.
And probably, I guess, within like societies is opening it up, like having more conversations, like exactly what you're doing is allowing dads to be able to express how they're going. Because I think the more there is talk about it, then we see change come from that. But if we're all sitting in silent suffering, how are we expected to ever make any change? So, there is more talk going on and more support available, but I guess probably not nearly enough to be able to really support and hold all of the dads and mums out there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I want to switch gears now because, as I said, you guys reached out to us on Instagram because you've got When Held, and admittedly, my brain fart has been thinking withheld, and I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense. You're not withholding something. So When Held is what it's actually called, not withheld. But and you do some pretty incredible things through this model of particularly taking dads through Circle of Security. I'm so keen to sink my teeth into this because my wife is a social worker. So she did Circle of Security as part of her training, and she's raved about it. And I try to soak in some of the principles and how we raise our boy. But I wonder, could we start with just, without giving away your whole course for free, what are some of the basics or the foundations of Circle of Security? And what are some of the things from Circle of Security that dads can sort of implement or put into practice now?
Yeah. So the basics, I guess, of the circle for people listening is that we have a circle, and then we have to the left-hand side of the circle halfway, we've got two hands holding, and then we look at the top of the circle being watching our children go out to explore. So that would be, you know, for instance, a toddler at a park going out to explore the playground, and we're watching over them, delighting in them for what they're doing. And then we have then the bottom half of the circle is where our children come back into us. So, for instance, at the park, the child may have fallen over and then they come back to you crying. So that's a comfort me, protect me, and help to organise my feelings. So we look at watching the circle happen, which is happening always, like our children are always on the circle. And then the caregiver is those hands holding the child to support them in launching off to explore and then being there for them when they need our help in protection. Yeah, so that's the basics.
Yeah, it's like a bit of a roadmap, like it's a visual roadmap of human behavior, like from the day we're born to the end of life, like it continues across the whole lifespan. But once we can actually like see it happening, then we can look at what it is that our kids are actually trying to tell us as they're going to explore and then coming back into us. And if we know what it is that they need, then boom, there we go. We provide the security and the love and the warmth and protection and all the things that they need. It just comes so much more naturally.
And what I was just going to say, what I love about it is that, you know, like I think a lot of dads don't want to do the helicopter parenting of like be with them. And you know, I think a lot of dads want to let their kids explore and experience some of that risk taking. And I think Circle of Security really facilitates that, but brings that that more compassionate sort of approach to it as well, that, you know, the kids can return and we offer them that comfort and safety before letting them go again. But yeah,
absolutely. And I think that's probably, you said that so well, that it's like a, you know, if you probably generations gone by, is that, you know, if the child does fall over, it's trying to push them through to be, you're okay, yeah, you're okay. And it's actually the complete opposite, allowing your child to come into you when they need you. So they let you know. They'll always come in and let you know what it is that they need. And we don't have to analyze whether we think it's okay for them to cry or not. It's if they're crying, then that's when we need to be that support person for them. And then once you allow that to happen and surrender to it, then you see them going back out to explore again. So you're not pushing them through something that they're not capable of actually doing. And so I guess, and that kind of drops into the next real big foundation of the circle, is we look at exploring what six key emotions were held for you as a child. So when we look at that, what was held for you, which is can be quite intense, like looking at that, it can bring up a lot of stuff from your childhood. But it is so important, because that awareness of what was held for you as a child allows in for you to investigate then how you hold those emotions for your child. So we then explore a concept called shark music, which is basically like a do-do-do-do, you're being triggered. And of that, your child's doing something that's probably playing out as an emotion that maybe wasn't held for you so well in your childhood. And if your child is then doing the same thing, your ability to be able to hold them in that space is not quite going to be there. And you may find yourself blowing up and being like, what just happened to me? Why did I respond in that way? And as soon as we can start to look at that and the awareness around that, it makes so much sense. And it makes, like, it's so helpful then in your parenting journey to be give reason as to why that we do certain things the way that we do it. And then again and again that we can see to start to make some changes within that. If that's not the path that we think, that's not what I want to do, it allows us to reflect on that and then to be able to slowly start to make changes within that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So we all have a blueprint of parenthood that's been imprinted upon us as we were kids. And whether we like it or not, that's our default as we head into parenthood. And I think all of us have things that, you know, before we become parents, we're the best parents. We say, well, I'm never going to do that. And I'm definitely not going to do that. And I will do this and blah, 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 blah. And then we find ourselves parenting and then doing the exact same thing we said we would never, ever do. And then just go, why? Like I said, I would never do that. And here I am. Here I am doing that exact same thing. So I guess the circle helps us to understand those blueprints and then give us a bit more choice in how we respond to our kids rather than constantly defaulting back. So, yeah.
It's an incredible thing about how we talk about parenting now, particularly through models like the circle, through aware parenting, attachment theory. Like, you know, these models are giving us a more sensitive, more nuanced, almost a more gentle approach, but also an introspective aspect to it as well, of like, who are you as a human being and how does that play out as you relate to, like, it's not just about, well, there's the behavior from the child, you know, alter it, you know, modify it, respond to it. Like, it's actually about, yeah, looking in on yourself and your own story and your own stuff and sort of trying to make sense of it. And I think, you know, for dads, I think that can be particularly vulnerable because, you know, particularly, you know, a lot of dads of my father's generation, at least, were the, you know, the breadwinner who was distant or, you know, whatever the story might be. And you go, I definitely don't want to be like him. And then you see it start to play out and it gets really vulnerable to then go into that and try and sort through. So, yeah, I think that's, really revelatory what you're saying about, those imprints and how we have to sort of process through those to be able to respond to our children when that return is happening in the circle.
Yeah, absolutely. And being compassionate to yourself. Like, you know, also like to our parents, like they, you know, they did what they knew, like, you know, this power. So what we're learning now is so powerful in then changing, you know, that, but also being compassionate to our parents that they only had the capacity that they had to be able to do what they did. So it's really trying to sit with that too, and then being compassionate towards yourself. Because if we can't hold ourselves with compassion, it makes it very challenging to make any changes happen. So that's, and I think that goes with like the other concept of the circle, is like looking at rupture and repairs, and that ruptures are going to happen. And if we can, if we have a rupture, like a, you know, a big blowout, our child's having a massive tantrum and we lose our shit at them because of that, because we're so triggered from our shark music, that we can go, instead of being like, why did I respond in that way, and beating ourselves up over it, just sitting in that and going, I didn't have capacity to be with my child through their emotion at that particular time, but I know I have a golden ticket to be able to repair what just happened. And I think the repair is everything that we need in the world, to be honest, is people being able to acknowledge what's happened, and then to be able to step up and take responsibility, and then connect in to whoever you have had that rupture with. And it's all like, you don't, repair can happen at any moment that you choose for it to happen. It can be, you know, in right then and there after it's happened, if you have capacity to do that, or it can be the next day, or potentially it could be next week, or even years later. If you can have awareness that there was a rupture, there is always ability to then repair that. And obviously the circle goes into quite a few steps into repair and what that looks like in really nailing it. But I feel like repair is a golden ticket in parenthood to not traumatizing your children.
And like, it's something we've hit on a couple of times with in this podcast with some of our guests, is that repair with kids, and particularly just the being able to sit down with them and say, look, I'm really sorry that that wasn't what I wanted to, you know, and just talking it through with them. And I think, you know, for dad and for mums too, but for dads, there's something particularly healing about that for us. Like there's the repair with the relationship. Then there's also, you know, particularly for a lot of men, there's the, they've never been treated with that level of compassion and empathy and gentleness. And I think to experience it is something that's really profound. And I think really beautiful that we can tie in some of that as well, that it's not just, oh crap, messed up, that's it. You know, my kid's going to be messed up for the rest of their life. Like,
that's it. And it's like that, if you can go in and repair, like you feel so much better for it, because you take responsibility for your emotional outburst or whatever happened. But also it takes, then your child's not holding your responsibility for the way of your emotions. So it's not like, you know, the weight of being, you know, having, like, children will always be trying to please. So if it didn't go in that way, and they will then feel responsible for your outburst. So, and we don't want that. We don't want our kids carrying our shit. That's not fair. So it's like, if you can step up and be that bigger, stronger, wiser and kind, like it just, it feels so much better, and you don't carry it, they don't carry it. And it's just like back to, yeah, like, let's just be now. We're not holding that.
that's where the gold is. Like, that's where the relationship is really strengthened. Like, we've never done this before. Like, we're constantly learning as we go, right? So we're going to get it wrong. We're going to muck up. We're going to lose our cool, you know? Like, that's just all a part of it. But, yeah, if we can repair that, if we can stop and repair that and work through it together, then, yeah, that's where that real deep connection and that's how we set our kids up to thrive for the rest of their life.
Yeah, in relationship, like showing them what a relationship looks like, that there's going to be ruptures in every relationship that they have at particular times, but knowing that they can repair, like how amazing for a workplace, for, you know, friendships in schools, like for life, like that's just teaching them what, you know, like, I guess, security, what that looks like in having a secure attachment and being able to, yeah, mend things in the future.
They can't be what they can't see, right?
That's right. You've got to show them. Yeah.
Do you think that just sort of something that you've just said, Erin, about like we've never done this before. Do you think that the reason these models are speaking to us as parents, and more than just because it's so different to how we were parented, but because it really acknowledges that, hey, actually you've never done this before. So let's really put in some framework, some ideas, some responses here that will help you not only respond to your child, but actually grow as a parent and grow in this new stage or this new role in life. Do you think that could be the case?
Absolutely. I think a lot of the Circle of Security program is based in reflection. So, you know, it is a parenting program, but it's also, we see so much more personal growth, you know. So we grow as parents, but we also grow personally because we can you know, learn so much more about ourselves and understand, you know, what it is that makes us tick and, you know, perhaps why we do that. Mm. Yeah, it can really change the lens in the way we see the world, really. It can be really powerful.
And I think too, like to sort of spin off that, like I think parenting in general now, we do have a broader idea of the dynamism of what that is. It's not just a role that you play for these children that you've had, but there is this growth and there's this experience and there's something in it for us as parents, not just what we can offer our kids. And I think for dads particularly, where the image has been breadwinner, work, you know, 9 till 5, come home, pat the kids on the head when you walk in and that's like your interaction. Like there's something to be, it sounds a bit opportunistic, but there's something to be gained in this for yourself as well.
Absolutely. It's like the seeing value in the role that you play. Like exactly that. I think that so many dads will go, oh, well, you know, the mum's breastfeeding, I don't have much opportunity to be with the baby, and, you know, and kind of just standing out because they don't know how to be included in that and not seeing themselves as such a valuable role in being that dad and being there. And it's, I think through the circle of security, it really shows how much value that you play. Like your child just sees you with so much love. And when you can explain that to a dad and make them see that, it completely changes everything. They stop being on the outer and they actually then go, I want to be in this. I want to be there. I want them, like, I can see myself now in such a different lens that has such a big part and will have such a big impact on this child forever.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. That's really cool. And this is why we invited you both to come onto the podcast today, because this is what you do with dads, is you run this 4-week course on the circle and you're giving dads this model and this tool and this skill set, and you're giving them that encouragement and inspiration. Could you talk a bit about what that's been like for you, for the dads in your group? I know you've got a cohort running currently. Like, for the, what have you seen in their growth and learning, and what are some of the highlights that we could sort of share to dads who are listening, to encourage them maybe to think about signing up for future offerings of your course?
Oh, cool. We get so excited about this because it's amazing, like just within 4 weeks or even just in the first couple of weeks, the stories that we get back and like just little bits of information and little like key questions to prompt some reflection can really create the biggest shift in like father-child baby relationship. It's pretty magic. We have one dad recently who you know, talked about how he came from an authoritarian upbringing and his dad, you know, wasn't around a whole lot, and he hadn't realized that that was kind of his imprinting, and he wanted to do things very differently but kind of didn't know how to and was trying really hard. But the toddler tantrums were just, you know, getting really, really hard, and his default would be to, you know, to meet fire with fire. So the toddler would be losing their mind because they wanted the yellow cup instead of the blue one or whatever it might be, and then that would be greeted with fire or like this need to kind of shut down the intensity of that emotion. But after doing just a few weeks of the program, he realized that, hang on a minute, like let's shift this up. And he was able to kind of do a total 180. And when his toddler lost the plot, he went over and gave the little boy a big hug and then held that little boy while he was crying. And then he talked about how incredibly impactful that was for the whole rest of the day, and then followed on through the whole rest of the week in terms of that little boy's behavior. Like he felt so much more connected. So he behaved so much better. And he, you know, he did all the things that he was asked to do, and it made life so much easier.
And he said that the little boy kept going up to then the mum and the dad and saying, I love you. And he's not just randomly done that before, but it was like, again, like that communication, I think we talk about so often, is that when you open it up and come in with a different sort of attitude, or it's just completely changing that, instead of being having to be that authoritarian, you know, stop, you know, you cannot throw that, that's not okay, and being, you know, real lecturing, and it breaks the connection. And if you can just come in and swoop in with support and be there for them, like you could just see, and this dad was just like, It was just incredible. Like, we were just on the screen going, yes! Like, it was seriously amazing, because you could see the joy that it brought to the whole family. And I think that's where it's at. Like, if we flip our narrative and can actually be with our children through all of their emotion, like, it's game changing to the way that life runs. It doesn't feel so clunky and hard. It's like, yeah, we all need support, right? We all need to be held. So it's like, if we can do that, even when it feels so ridiculously hard for us, because we're like, this feels so like clunky and not, you know, normal, or just even like, I think one of the things is expressing your emotions. We talk about that quite a bit through the circle. And for the dads, I think it's so foreign for them to be able to say what it is that they're feeling. And we talk about how you are the role model for your children. So if we're trying to get them to talk about what they're feeling and to, you know, help to organize their feelings, we have to demonstrate that. Like, we are their biggest role model. So if we can start doing that, which I think that dads like have just been so on board with, in being able to try and articulate what it is that they're feeling and communicate that with their partner or with their child too, if they're at an age that they are, you know, understanding. But even if they're not at an age, we talk about, we had quite a few infants in our group, and it's like, become used, like, just get yourself familiar with, you know, saying, like, you know, especially when you have an infant that's, you know, really having a really good cry and you're trying to be with them through that, like, that's hard, really hard. But if you can express how you're feeling, like, it just takes away that pressure that you're holding them within yourself. I'm feeling really frustrated now. I'm trying my best to be with you, but this feels really hard. Like, you're releasing it from your body, but you're actually then able to start that vocabulary with your child. And like, it does start from the day they're born, well, even in utero, to be honest. The dads have just been so amazing though. It's been in the other group that we ran too, it was just incredible for everyone to share their stories, like, and even just the story of watching the circle happen and how in each family, how that looks quite different in their stories that they tell and what stood out to them, and bringing that together, it just opens up conversations within the dads, and it's such a like a supportive feel that you get from the group, that everyone's on board with, you know, they'll say like, oh, this happened to me, and then the next dad will be like, oh my gosh, you know, like, Zach, yeah, that happened to me too. Like, and it's like this, then you feel so not alone in it. Like, yeah, we talk about how the parenting journey can be so isolating, and it's like, we need more of that communication, like, in connection with one another. And yeah, the dads have been amazing with that.
You might think that blokes are not particularly chatty, but you put them together in the same space, and I mean, you also wouldn't believe that we wouldn't get a word in, but it's true. It's really true. Getting a bunch of guys together, like, it's so amazing to see them share that experience, because I think that there's not often the opportunity for guys to be vulnerable and talk about the struggles and unpack a bit of stuff around parenthood.
Yeah. And the shift in identity, like, that, you know, that we talk about, like, with women so much, but I mean, gosh, that's so much in men. Like, a change in identity is just, it's huge. And the change in identity with, you know, workplace, then what that looks like within the family and relationship, like, that, I think that's probably something that we talk about again and again, is the changes that happen within the relationship. And that, you know, like, I think a really big theme is rejection that comes up. I'm feeling so rejected because my partner's not, doesn't have any time to give to me because they're giving it all to the child, and how that makes them feel is a theme that we explore that with one another. And like, even with that, when within our own family units, like, I was talking to the girls in circle the other day, and I was saying, you know, about not wanting to be touched or whatever it is, and then being able to openly say to my husband, I am not rejecting you. Well, it feels like you're rejecting me. But like, even having that conversation of saying that, it's like, it opens it up, right? That then what he's feeling, I'm like, I do, I see you, and you're, I feel you, and I know that's probably what's happening, but it's like, it's not what's going on. And it just makes it changes, because then he can say how he feels. And yeah, I think all of the dads, that, like, everybody, I think everyone experiences that, like, that rejection, even, you know, us too. Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, thank you for sharing about your group, because I think for dads, like, to hear that you don't have to be like a zero loser, crappy dad, like, you just have to be a dad that wants to try and wants to get better.
Yeah.
to go into some of these groups or to join one of our local dads groups. Like, it's not like a support group for loser dads. It's actually about how can you live and not that, like, that's probably a bit politically incorrect to say, but, you know, like, all of these things exist because we're seeing dads want to get better at fathering and parenting, and it's an offering for dads to level up. And yeah, as we're hearing about dads in your group, you know, we see it with our dads groups that these are spaces where dads can come, feel like they belong and can connect in and find guys who are on the same page as them and to journey forward together. So thank you for sharing those stories, because I think it does break that wall down a little bit for some dads who are like, oh, you know, like, I go all right, so, you know, I don't need to join this. Actually, join these things because you'll go even more all right.
That's it. And not feel so alone in your journey, like, especially some of the, like, we just discussed, like, the stuff about relationships, you know, and how, like, that has such a big impact then on your child too. So when you have that, you know, dysfunction within the relationship, that has a big impact on the child. So it's not just, you know, things are like, oh, I'm all right as a dad, but, you know, my relationship's probably not going so great at the moment. It's like, well, yeah, hang on a second. Let's look at the big picture and how we can try and, you know, support one another. And also that I think we've seen quite a bit, like, a theme that it's the dads will, again, be on the outer, and that they go, well, mum does all that parenting stuff, like, you know, and that's been the generational pass down, their imprints, and, you know, mum's holding the child, they're, you know, they're doing that part of it, and I just come in when I need to, and to be, you know, authoritarian, to be able to tell them, no, you don't do that, or when mum feels like she's losing it, that's when I need to step in. But it's so not that, like, the value in the role of a dad, and also being on the same page with your partner, it makes, like, that parenting journey just so much easier for both, because it's not one's holding more than the other. You've come together and you're a team, and that's when, yeah, it just, the language to be able to speak about, like, you know, your child's on the top or the bottom of the circle, what is it, what do you think the need is, like, just to have that common language, I think is, like, it feels so good, because then you're both navigating it together and trying to do the best for your child. So it's not the responsibility of one over the other. It's that everything in a partnership, like, you're a team, and you're doing the teamwork together. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Well, look, I am aware it's school holidays, and every minute we go longer becomes more tedious for the safety of your children. So I want to say a big thank you, Kim and Aaron, for what you do in supporting dads and supporting parents, and, you know, particularly in a perinatal mental health space. It's such a crucial space, you know, and we see, you know, one of our partners to dads group is Panda, and so we see a lot of that data come out about, you know, mental health after the birth for both mums and dads. So thank you so much for that incredible work that you do, and for these incredible offerings of the Circle of Security course you offer for dads and stuff that you offer for mums. If any of the dads or families that are listening want to connect in with you guys, where's the best place for them to do that?
Best place would be on Instagram. I know not everyone has Instagram, but, you know, hopefully you can connect in there. So you just find us at when.held.
Yeah, beautiful. That's when, not with. Very different meetings.
When held. So when we,
so much better. Yeah. When we all feel held emotionally, physically.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, we can be the best we can be.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. And we also want to thank our listener for tuning in today. If you haven't already, go check out our website at www.dadsgroup.org. In this space, we've got some awesome resources for support for families, new and expecting families. There's a lot of mental health support there by some amazing organizations. On this website as well, you can also support Dad's Group through purchasing our merchandise, or a solid donation would be amazing and help us impact the lives and of new and expecting families all around Australia. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Cheers, guys.